Welcome to Get Over It, the Intuitive Transformation Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. I am so glad you're with me tonight. We've got a fabulous show. We've got a show favorite. We've got Cindy Dale with us tonight, and we're going to be talking about clairvoyance. So sit back, relax, and take notes, because you're going to learn all you need to learn about clairvoyance and then go out and get that book. Okay, so the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you release your BS that is holding you back. The big question is, are you ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. Now, a bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience helping people break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing information which enables you to become a master builder of your life. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I'm the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I authored Getting Your M&Ms, the Many, Many, Money book, and Masterful Choices, the Key to Easy, Effective Change. I provide consultations and healings regarding relationships, business, career, money, and love that heal the mind, body, in spirit connection, allowing you to live your life to the fullest. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist. So whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, visit my website, MoniqueChapman.com. I invite you to like me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. You can also sign up for my opt-in newsletter, Intuitive Living, from my website. Again, that's MoniqueChapman.com. Attract more of what you want into your life. Travel between lifetimes. Connect with the deceased or a child yet to be born, and much more by using your clairvoyant talents. Renowned author Cindy Dale reveals the secrets of clairvoyant energy and provides step-by-step instructions for 6 different clairvoyant styles, from healing and manifesting to clearing blocks, using future sight, understanding the chakras. This wonderful guide helps you explore many topics and grow through the power of your energetic abilities. Now, Cindy Dale is an internationally known author, speaker, healer, and business consultant. She is the president of Life Systems Services, through which she has conducted over 35,000 client sessions and presented training classes throughout Europe, Asia, and the Americas. And you can visit her at her website, and that's cindydale.com, and let me spell that for you, CYNDIDALE.com. And tonight we're going to be talking about her latest book, and that is Awaken Clairvoyant Energy. Welcome back, Cindy.
Thanks, Monique. I'm so happy to be here. You know, and we can use clairvoyance for BS detectors too, can't we?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, we can.
Yes, I absolutely love it. I do. Well, you know, you have written over 20 books, Cindy, and I've read them all, but you know what? This one is my fave. What brought you to write a book on clairvoyance?
Oh, that is so nice to hear. You know, I have been clairvoyant, the word means clear seeing, ever since I was a little kid. In fact, I had my first visions or, you know, sights when I was even in the womb with my mom. I could literally see the energy of my parents arguing. And I saw the sound waves coming in through my mom's body, and everywhere those struck in my physical body, I have had some kind of challenge or some kind of disorder, something to work through. So it's almost natural for me. I've had to get to the clairvoyant topic, you know, mm-hmm. because I think a lot of times we write about, we research, we teach, we work in areas, you know, that are instinctive to us so we can explain ourselves to ourselves and then help do the same for other people too.
Yeah. Well, I love it. You said explain ourselves to ourselves, because sometimes it gets very confusing. I know as a child, being extremely clairvoyant, I thought everybody was. I thought that was just the nature of things. And when you go to kindergarten and you discover that not everybody else can see colors and other people that no one else can see, you're like, what's wrong with me? So how did you get past that what's wrong with me, since you can remember in vitro, you know, what was going on?
It took me a crash and burn and working through the what's wrong with me, because I was just like you. I saw images. I saw things before they happened. I dreamed dreams that came true. I saw spirits, demons, and angels. And you know, I didn't really get either that other people couldn't see all that, either with their physical eyes or inner eyes. I figured it out somewhere around 8 or 9, and I felt really depressed because, you know, the fairies, they were telling me they're not real. Or, you know, the red energy coming off my mom went before she got angry. You know, I knew she was going to get angry. And then my sisters would be like, you're just making that up. You're just stupid. You're just weird. And so, you know what I did when I was about 12 or 13? I was just so tired of being weird and odd and feeling judged. And of course, I was mainly judging myself. Isn't that really what happens? But you don't know that when you're a kid.
Right.
And so I decided I was done with everything. I decided I wasn't going to use my gifts. I wanted to die. I didn't want to be here. I actually forced myself into the flu and a near-death experience, and I'm leaving my body. I can almost see the heavens, because clairvoyance is a gift that carries across time. I mean, they're right there. There's the light. And this big hand pushed me back down. I'm coming back in. I can see my body. I can see the orange juice, you know, sitting next to, you know, on the nightshade that your mom always gives you when you're sick, you know, and the voice, you know, kind of as it's shoving me back in, said, I'm sorry, you haven't done anything yet. So, okie doke. But I shut down all my gifts until I went to therapy when I was about 20 years old. And those years, Monique, when I was literally from an intuitive point of view, deaf, blind, and dumb, you know what I mean, not able to sense or feel anything extraordinary, were some of the worst years of my life. I was depressed, anorexic, binge purge, anxious. I mean, without your gifts, you don't have a way of knowing what else is in the universe besides, you know, what you can see, touch, and feel, and that's very limited.
Yes, very. Well, you know, it's interesting that you said that, you know, you went through, you know, an eating disorder, basically, to, you know, come to back to your senses, if you will. Some clairvoyants, they drink a lot. Some use a lot of drugs. Is that because we're trying to escape the energy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I come from a long history of really good, solid Norwegian drinkers. So, you know, so if anybody could hoist the tankard, it would be me.
Okay, girl.
I did food, you know, instead of the alcohol, but it's all sugar. It's all some way to avoid what we know to be true. I think it's a way to turn our back on the divine. I think it's a way to turn our back on ourselves and our abilities so that we can stay in the box. I don't think we want to look outside the box. And so whatever our addictive tendency is, it really is a way to tune out the senses, the extraordinary senses, so that we can ride along, you know, just like everybody else, go around the merry-go-round, never get off of it, and really never soar either. We can never really fly or be ourselves. I've met a lot of alcoholics. I've been in Al-Anon forever and ever, and there's a lot of alcoholics that go to Al-Anon too. You know, so it's sort of like, you know, one big addiction family. And almost all of them, once they started clearing up their addictions, discovered that they had mystical abilities. Maybe they felt, or they sensed, or they were aware, or they saw, or they dreamed, or they heard. But those gifts start to open up, I think, when we clean ourselves out.
Mm-hmm, they definitely do. So let's talk about clairvoyance. What is it?
It is the mystical ability to see psychic images or psychic impressions. And when I say the word psychic, another solid word for it is subtle. Sometimes people use the word intuitive or spiritual, but it really is the ability to see beyond what can be measured and what is visible through the eyes. But that doesn't mean that we only get the images inside of ourselves. Some of us can see pictures with our eyes that are, you know, tuning us into the supernatural universe. Some of us get those visions or visual impressions through our dreams or any other number of ways as well.
Okay. So when we expose ourselves to this? Is it just being basically more aware of the physical? And as we become more aware of the physical that's around us, we can tune in more accurately to the non-physical?
That's a great way to get started. If somebody's not aware that they actually can perceive images inside of themselves, Monique, that's a great way to get started. Pay attention to what's in your environment. You know, ask whatever it is you call God, spirit, divine, the goodness, you know, ask that force to start giving you signs through your visual environment. I mean, once people start doing that, all of a sudden they see the billboards that give them a message or the license plate. One time in a single day, driving different places in the city, I saw three different license plates that all said some version of "You are loved," which is really cool.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. Even when I'm working with clients, I often walk around the house when I'm on the phone because I'm also ADD and ADHD and all those other things too. Mm-hmm. And I'll pay attention to where my eye goes. If a client is asking a question, you know, the other day I was working with a client and I have tons of books and they were asking about, you know, like what fills me? And I saw this book title, I just went straight to it, that said "The Light Possessed." So I could literally tell the person, "You're possessed by the light. You're possessed by goodness." Mm-hmm. That's a very good thing to be possessed by. So that's certainly one way to get in touch with your innate clairvoyant abilities. And you can keep doing it even when you get impressions inside of your head or they come in other ways as well.
Now, can anybody do this?
Yes.
I know you can and I can, but can anybody?
Yes. Yes. But people often wonder if they really are. Meaning, we all have our particulars. Like, my way of being clairvoyant is going to be different than yours, is going to be different than Honey, my dog's, is going to be different than my son Gabe's. So some of us are color-oriented. Some of us get metaphors. Some of us only see impressions with our eyes. Other people are mainly about creating dreams, either through daydreams or night dreams. And many people are empathic. I mean, most people know that they have kinesthetic or empathic abilities. You know, and sometimes it just takes a little bit of work to convert, you know, something you're reading, something you're hearing, your empathic ability, some other way of knowing, through your system into images. So whatever gift you have clairvoyantly now, you can enhance it and you can potentially develop another take or facet of the gift.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, in your book, you talk about clairvoyance in terms of the energy, of energy period and of the chakras. So how does all of that relate together? Do we have to be familiar with the chakras in order to, you know, tune in clairvoyantly?
No, you don't have to know about the chakras. What I like about having a basic understanding of the chakras, which are subtle energy bodies, and as such, they're able to convert psychic or subtle energy into physical and physical into subtle. And we have any number of them. I actually work with 12, but there's 7 that are actually in the body. Mm-hmm. Each of those chakras, as they ascend up the body, alert us to different psychic impressions. So the chakras lower in the body are going to be really dense. They're going to help us feel what's happening in the physical world. You know, the one that most of us do visioning through or clairvoyance through is in the brow. That's a really high frequency chakra, so it's easily able to create or receive images. But what I like about working with the chakras is that you can play them like piano keys. So let's say it's really hard for you to get images or pay attention to what's in your environment, but you're a super physical person. So we know that the physical chakra is in the hip area, so pay attention to what you're feeling in your body or how the environment is impressing you or what somebody's doing in front of you. Take a couple deep breaths, pause, and let the energy you're bringing into that first chakra rise up your spine, make it into your picture chakra up in your brow, and get turned into a picture. So the cool thing about knowing the chakras is that you can start to inter-exchange your abilities, and you can turn almost anything, a feeling, an impression, an awareness, a hunch, a message, a verbal message into a picture once you're able to sort of tune into your chakras.
Okay. So when we are just experiencing life on a daily basis, so when we are daydreaming during the day because we're bored doing whatever, we just drift off, is that tuning in clairvoyantly? Same thing with dreaming at night?
Certainly dreaming at night is clairvoyant. Anytime you get an image, whether it's in black and white or color, you know, when you're dreaming at night, you're probably in delta, in REM sleep. You're communicating either with yourself or some, you know, other being is communicating with you or whatever. Now, you know, daydreaming, I have to say, yes, maybe. Okay? Because, you know, we all have an imagination. We can use our visual gift to spin fantasy. Right? I can imagine anything. I can imagine, you know, a huge house, a butler, a chauffeur, you know, the lottery, and I'm using my clairvoyant ability in terms of that I'm creating pictures, but they may not really be true mystical impressions, meaning they may not be true. It's just my imagination running fancy with my ability. So, you can daydream and get true images that have meaning, but you probably need to control it a little more or know how to evaluate the daydream to figure out where that blurred line is. What are we just spinning and what are we actually being told or communicated with? What's really a message and what's just fantasy?
Is it possible, though, that we can have the daydream, a recurrent daydream, and birth that into reality, into 3D?
Yes, because that's one of the gifts of clairvoyance, actually. That energy center, you know, that center that uses vision, you know, in order to receive communications, also sends images into the world. In fact, that's how we manifest. We create images, we make choices inside of that chakra, that third eye, it's sometimes called the sixth chakra in the brow, and we project them into the future. We literally, like, cast our line out there, and that vision pulls us to it. So you absolutely can envision a reality and birth it in the future, and it will pull you into it. Better yet, picture the pictures, you know, kind of get a sense of what's optimum, you know, what's your highest and best wish, you know, and then feel it in the body while you're seeing it. Because we also want to train our neurology and our body into accepting it as true, into living as if that vision is true. That's the quickest way to create a reality.
Okay, so easy manifesting, folks.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it really actually works, too. My youngest son is in baseball, so I know way too much about baseball. You know, nobody who's in my profession should know this much about baseball. I mean, I can watch a pitcher now and tell you if he's good or not. And, you know, nobody listens to me, though, because I'm just a mom. But I've taught my son a lot of these techniques. He's not necessarily visual. He's really kinesthetic, but I have him feel what he needs to do in his body, practice it, then kind of like take a picture in his mind. So when he goes out on the mound, he pictures himself doing it, and then his body follows. So there's all kinds of super cool little techniques that we can learn or create for ourselves that help us, you know, become what it is we want to be.
Okay. So how does your son truly accept mom being a psychic?
Do you know, he and my older son, I overheard them talking 2 or 3 years ago, and they were talking about their mom, and they adore me. Well, first of all, I pay all the bills. Okay, so that helps. But they were talking about what they tell other people, and they both come up with this term independently. There's several years difference between them, and they go, you know, I just tell people my mom's a spiritual therapist. Oh, that's what I tell them, too. So that's the way they explain it, and they said that nobody ever asks any questions. When they say that, they never have to explain it. So I think they've come up with a really weird, cool way of doing it. But I'll tell you, my youngest son in particular, he loves it because I help him with his pitching. He'll text me or call me or go, Mom, I'm a little stuck here. What's going on? You know, or Mom, I'm feeling really scared. You know, can you help me with it? So I'm sort of his secret weapon. So, you know, it's sort of good to have someone like me in your back pocket.
Well, it also sounds like he might be an intuitive in training. You didn't know it.
This kid is so intuitive. He has the world's biggest heart, which is its own form of intuition. And he will listen to somebody talking. Let's say, and he's an introvert. All right, so we'll go somewhere. He'll meet somebody or we'll talk to a relative or this or that and leave. He'll look at me and he'll go, do you know they were lying? Or, you know, they were really sad. Or, you know, Mom, that you know, those two people really shouldn't be married. So he's spot on. He's smart enough to not say it all.
Yeah, I wasn't that bright.
I got myself in trouble, too.
But it is what it is. Well, folks, we are speaking with Cindy Dale. She is the author of Awaken Clairvoyant Energy. She also has 22 other books out there, so you want to check her out at cindydale.com, and that's CYNDIDALE.com. You will love her work. You'll love her books. Now, Cindy, in your book, you talk about six styles of clairvoyance. What's that about?
Well, I really want people to know there's no wrong way to be clairvoyant. And if you don't use clairvoyance the way you think everybody else is, there's another means or mechanism for you to do visioning. So one process I call classical, and that's the one that you see in the movies where the person's eyelids flutter and they get pictures or they see things with their eyes. They read the auric field and all the colors around somebody or get dreams. That's using the sixth chakra. You know, that's where we get the pretty pictures, whether we see them kind of concretely or inside of ourselves. But another one that a lot of people don't know they can do is called prophetic clairvoyance. Those pictures come in black and white and gray, and they're much more about figuring out what's destined or what's right and wrong. So I have clients who go, oh, I've always seen black and white pictures. I just didn't know that was clairvoyance. And, you know, maybe they draw them, or maybe they see them in the dreams or in their eyes, you know, or something. And, you know, the white, of course, being more, you know, this is sort of something that's blessed or is supposed to be, it's higher, you know, versus dark is something you want to take, you know, kind of, you know, take another look at.
Look at it, yeah.
Yep. Another style is empathic, where you can turn a feeling or an awareness into a vision. You kind of have to, you know, sort of like when you're on your computer and you're dragging a file into a folder, you have to drag that data into the third eye. Or verbal, where you think a thought or a guide says something or you're reading scripture or whatever it might be. And again, you take a moment and let it be converted into a picture. And then the other styles are really more what we can do with clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is the most well-known ability for seeing the future, predicting the future, figuring out what's possible versus probable versus destined, or creating the future. And then a lot of us do healing and manifesting. We just talked about manifesting, as a matter of fact, with our clairvoyance. So it's a multifaceted ability, which is why it's so fun for me to talk about it, and it was fun for me to write about it, because it's sort of like, wow, look at what you can do. It's like having more than one color in the Crayola box, right?
Yeah.
That's what clairvoyance is. Exactly. Yes.
So how do we get to the point of truly believing what we see clairvoyantly?
I think that's an ongoing process, because I teach a lot of classes, you know, and I'm constantly trying to learn how to be better at my mystical gifts myself. And I just know my guides constantly push me into new areas. And I myself am constantly going, really? Is this the real picture? Am I supposed to say this? Is this accurate? So I feel like our human self, you know, always has, or sometimes anyway, has that little bit of doubt or questioning. So my answer to how to believe ourselves is just decide that even if you doubt it, you're going to say it. Even if you don't know, you're going to believe it. Even if it seems crazy, you're going to work with it. In fact, in my head, if I get an image and I think it's just crackers, I'm going, the client is going to think I am crazy. I say to myself, Cindy, would you make that up? And if I can answer no, then I know it's probably a really valid clairvoyant picture. Because why would I make it up? It's got to be coming to me. I would never make that up. I would never want to see that picture or share that sight. So I think we just have to decide we're going to go with it more than wait until we completely trust it.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the stories that I really loved in your book was when Honey, your dog, was contacting you because your son overslept. So could you share that story and tie in why that's, you know, clairvoyant so people can really get it?
Well, Honey the dog is even upstairs while we're talking, and he's making noise even though you can't hear it. So I'm sure he's the one who told you that you have to talk about Honey the dog, all right? So, there's actually several times that my son overslept, to be really honest. So, because, you know, boys, and especially teenage boys. So Honey the dog, even now, has this tendency that he always barks at 5 in the morning, no matter what. That's not quite what's in the book, but he does. So even when I'm traveling, no matter where I am, at 5 o'clock, whatever my time is, you know, whatever time zone I'm in, like, you know, if I'm in Europe, 5 a.m. in Europe, Honey the dog barks, and I can hear him, and he wakes me up. So he has this thing about waking people up. But one morning, you know, I ran some errands. I was gone. You know, I asked Gabe, you know, set your alarm. Can you get yourself up? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and of course he said yes. And then I heard, when I'm running around, Honey the dog barking in my head. But it was just as real as if he was doing it. And of course, I called home, woke up Gabe. He had overslept. Honey barked at me. giving me the image of my son oversleeping, you know, not moving out of the bed. And so, you know, Mr. Timely Honey, you know, kind of was Johnny on the spot. He even sent me the psychic image of it as well.
Oh, wow.
No, I know. No, he's a very intelligent dog. He'll tell you that, too, if you talk to him.
yes, he's chiming in all over. And actually, he wants to talk to Sadie, but they'll have to wait. Sadie's my dog. They'll have to wait until we're done and talk to each other. Now, Cindy, the one thing I liked that you put in the beginning of your book, which I haven't seen in too many books on intuition, period, is the history of clairvoyance. You even talked about some of the biblical and Islamic faith. So could you talk to that a little bit? Because some people feel that if you're clairvoyant, you know, you're the devil.
Well, I know, and they do this almost New Age spin on it, thinking somehow, you know, that because contemporary spiritual people use clairvoyance, that it's not rooted in history. It is rooted in absolutely every historical tradition. The Islamic community depended on receiving visions. It was talked about, you know, kind of in their scripture. In fact, I even do some Sufi work that's kind of an offshoot of Islam. It's called the Way of the Heart. And the teacher of the order, you know, that I've been learning from is a clairvoyant. He gets pictures about people, you know, and that's how he performs his healing work. The Bible is full of seers, of oracles. I mean, think of Joseph with the coat of many colors. You know, his brothers are jealous. They throw him in a pit, you know, steal the, you know, the robe. He's taken into slavery in Egypt. He's in prison. And guess why he eventually became Pharaoh? Because the Pharaoh, you know, used his dreams. Joseph predicted what was going to be happening in terms of famines in Egypt, you know, and the Pharaoh trusted the visions, trusted Joseph's connection to Joseph's God, believed the dreams, planned for the famine, and then eventually Joseph became the, you know, the Pharaoh, to be really honest. You know, the Hebrewic, the Levites, that sect, you know, of the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, that were the priests, they actually did predictions with, they were like, I don't know how to pronounce it, Uman and Thuman, I never know how to say anything, you know, but they used dice, you know, so they looked at the dice to see what was going to happen. So all the way through the Bible, we have visions, we have seers, you know, we have magical and mystical, you know, kind of connections with the divine that people used, you know, the prophets used to help guide the people. So God guided the people through those visions. And nearly every culture, whether it's Lakota or Apache, indigenous cultures around the world, the Judaic, you know, faith, especially Judaic mysticism, Greek mysticism going back thousands of years have always employed the oracles, the seers, those who get visions to do healing work, analyze dreams, to predict the future, to perform guidance, to get us connected, in and through the invisible realms. So we've always had seers amongst us, and it's been a very respected profession. Alexander the Great, for instance, he was known as the conqueror of the known world thousands of years ago, actually went to a seer in the Siwa Oasis out in Egypt who said that you will conquer the known world, and had a vision of that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Alexander the Great would have kept going with his conquests if he hadn't had that vision given to him.
Yeah. Boy, I wish someone would give our president a vision right now. But anyway,
couldn't he use one?
Well, you know what? I was listening to the news the other day, and they were talking about Cassandras, and that word piqued my interest, so I started paying attention. And they talked all about Cassandras, but they didn't say what a Cassandra was. So why don't you explain?
A Cassandra, it's from Greek history. Cassandra had the visions. She got visions, but she was cursed or doomed that nobody would believe in them. Mm-hmm. So she lived in Troy, and they told, and the Greeks were attacking, Troy. She told everybody, not to let this big horse in, this gigantic horse that the Greeks left. She said, it's dangerous. Don't bring it into the city. They didn't believe her. She could see that it was dangerous. And that night, the Greeks climbed out of the Trojan horse and defeated the Trojans. Mm-hmm. So Cassandras are people like who get the visions and nobody believes them, which can happen, because if somebody doesn't want to believe a vision, they're not going to. You know what's weird is right before Trump was elected, I actually did have three visions about him. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. one of them was I saw those papers that have come out, the Christopher Steele papers. Mm-hmm. I knew nothing about them. They hadn't been in the – nothing had come out. I saw the dossier with yellow ink on it. And about a month later, what comes into the news but those – but I can't see the outcome. I haven't been shown what's going to happen next.
Yeah, well, off air, we'll talk about that for a second. I don't want to put it out on air because folks might get a little nervous, and we don't
there
want that
you
to
go.
Happen. Yeah, but yes. I truly hope that he can get a good vision and activate his clairvoyance in a positive way to help, the world. That would be
Yeah, help
nice.
The people. He's in a position to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll see, and we'll pray, and we'll
pray.
Yes, because that's all we can do. Now, what if someone is clairvoyant or they're starting to feel their clairvoyance, but then all of a sudden they feel like the light was turned out, they're completely blocked? What can they do to get back on track to activating that clairvoyance?
Yeah, well, and that does happen, and sometimes it's natural. I've gone through stages where my clairvoyance just turns off and I have to develop other gifts, and then it turns back on. But especially if they're beginning, they've truly hit a block. So the thing you have to do is figure out why there is a block. Is it you? Are you scared? Were you killed for being a seer in a past life? Did mom used to shame you when you told her your really cool dreams when you woke up? So is it your block and you're sabotaging, without knowing it? Or mm-hmm. is something else blocking you? A family system cannot want you seeing the secrets because they don't want them being shared. So mm-hmm. family systems can block. There's energies and entities that can block. So you really need to first figure out what percentage of the block is internal, like from self versus external. Mm-hmm. clear out what's not yours and then work on your deeper issues.
Okay, so Cindy, how do you stay clear so that you can receive the information?
I go to therapy. I do.
Okay.
I do. I really do. I work on myself. I think we have to. I do mm-hmm. keep practicing the art. I give myself, kind of little lessons and try to do this and try to do that. But I really do work with a therapist who's also spiritual, whose work with me is to keep connecting me to the divine, mm-hmm. so that I clean my issues and so that I, reduce my ego around what I'm seeing, mm-hmm. and so I can be the best, kind of receiver, if you would, that I can. And I think that's an ongoing process. The other thing I do and this is really true, is I get up at 5:15 every morning. I stick my big, huge dogs in the car. I drive to the dog park when no one else is there, you know, and I run them and I walk myself. When I say I run the dogs, people mistakenly think I'm running. I'm not running. They're running, you know, and I start the day that way, open and clear with nobody and anything around. And it's sort of my way of meditating, and I think it makes a huge difference for me with my work.
Oh, I think it would make a huge difference for anybody because you're activating your body soon after, you know, getting up. So you're getting the juices flowing or the chakras enlivened, if you will. So I think that's fantastic. Well, folks, we're speaking with Cindy Dale. We're talking about her latest book, Awaken Clairvoyant Energy. It's available on Amazon, of course, and Barnes & Noble. Any place, just go in, ask for it. If you don't see it, they'll order it for you. Okay, and of course, you can get it on her website, I believe, at cindydale.com. That's CYNDIDALE.com. Cindy, what are some of the challenges that people have or people experience relating to clairvoyance?
You know, I think you've already mentioned one, Monique, which is that they don't believe the images. They discount them, invalidate them, which we do to ourselves anyway, in any aspect of our intuition. So I think that's the biggest challenge. Secondarily, I think they compare themselves to the people in the movies, you know, or people even like me who get a lot of pictures. So if they get one paltry image, they discount it rather than go, wow, let me expand it, let me work with it. So I think, you know, people don't think they're doing it good enough. And the truth is, like, even if I'm working with a client, I'm probably only going to get one image, and I'm not going to get a second one until I work with the first one. So so that's sort of the third challenge, is that they're not necessarily educated about clairvoyance. I think anything we do, we can have natural instinct and tendencies and abilities, and yet it still takes some education and some training. So take a class, you know, kind of read. You know, there's free information over Google about any of these matters. But I would just add to that, make sure you're learning from a source that's going to really emphasize that you need boundaries. You know, we don't have a right to go in somebody's brain, pull a picture out of it, and then go, hey, look at what they're thinking about. Neither do we need to be victimized by our gifts, you know, and just get smatterings of images, you know, that aren't useful for us or that really aren't even our business. So boundaries are really, really essential, you know, that we do some pondering about what we want to receive and how to receive it, you know, and sort of lock that in place, even intentionally. I had a client, for instance, who didn't want to be clairvoyant anymore because since she was a kid, all she ever saw were tragedies that came true. I don't want to be that way either. That's no, you know, so she needed to train herself out of that, have some boundaries, and slowly flip the gift so she only saw what the divine wanted her to see, and it needed to be like 80% of the time positive, and if it was going to be negative, it needed to be something that there could still be some change, that there could still be some malleability around the outcome.
Well, you know, the August before 9/11, I was in D.C., family was in D.C., and then we went up to New York City and then up to where I'm from. And the energy in D.C. was absolutely positively scattered and crazy. But I'm on vacation, and I'm trying to enjoy myself and all that, so I didn't pay attention. When we got to New York, we were going through Central Park, and my husband had this thing where he kept driving around the World Trade Center. We circled the World Trade Center, no exaggeration, 10 times. And we're all, to him, like, what's up with that, right? And he's a Pisces, and he's highly intuitive, but he doesn't believe it. So, but we're circling it, and as we were circling it, I'm like, something's weird, but I couldn't dial into what. And then I called one of my psychic friends back here in California. She goes, you know, Monique, I had a dream about New York. And I said, what was that? She goes, there are these two great big towers, and they just fell down. And we didn't,
oh my gosh,
we didn't correlate anything together. And then, you know, September 11th comes, and then that's what happens. But she definitely was clairvoyant with seeing it.
Oh, she sure was. And your husband felt it and reacted to it, and you sensed it. because it was already locked in place. Because whatever the powers that be, it was already locked in place. So it can be read through the empathic senses, you know, through the vision, depending on how it comes to us. You know, isn't that striking? You know, that actual day of September 11th, I had three clients on the phone in the morning from other places. The first woman was from New York, worked in one of the World Trade Centers, stayed home to do the session with me. I know. So I had no inkling. I have to say I was just sort of totally nothing. I had no vision, no nothing, but somehow I still got used to help somebody.
Yeah. And yay, because that's wonderful. Well, we woke up. We were back in California, of course. And actually, my youngest woke us up, and he goes, "Mom," and I'm like, "What, honey?" Because it's still early. And he goes, "You're New York City. Something happened to your New York City." And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "A plane crashed into a building." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I rolled over. He goes, "No, Mom, you got to get up and look at the news. A plane crashed into a building." So there started my morning. But it was, you know, it's just interesting. And this is a kid. This is my clairvoyant kid that he sees everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everything, good, bad, and different. And he doesn't mind. Okay.
That's so great. And you let him, which is great.
Oh, of course. Of course. He analyzes as he goes. So what would you say to a parent that's listening in that has a child that has exhibited clairvoyance tendencies? What would you say to them to help encourage?
Right, which is what you're doing with your son, obviously. So the first thing is accept the child. You know, accept who they are, what they're doing, and know that it's real. You know, in my generation, it was poo-pooed, it was discounted, it was weird, it was evil, it was not, you know, kind of Protestant, Lutheran, you know, kind of blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. So account it, it's real, you know, kind of affirm it for them. And there's two other additional tasks. So first of all, they tend to need to learn how to control it. All right. So some kids just get too much and it's really, really scary. And so it's important to give them some parameters, you know, and some ways to feel empowered by the gift rather than having it run them over. So, you know, perhaps I'll say, you know, can you see that angel? You can have that angel with you every night so you don't get bad dreams. Or, you know, you can have that angel help you, you know, kind of not see the things that are too scary for you to see. So I help them connect with either inside of themselves or some type of a being or process they can use. So they learn when they can say yes to their gift or no to their gift, you know, and then I have them develop it in, you know, their kids sometimes in just very concrete ways, you know, maybe color pictures and show what color somebody is, you know, when they're coloring a picture, you know, and figure out what that color means to them, or help them envision themselves in different colors or in different, you know, sort of imagings, you know, and see how that affects their schoolwork or their school life. You know, I'll teach them different techniques to use light or energy or color, you know, for when they're scared, you know, have a big white light or gold light coming through you, you know, and that works for all ages. I have quite a few teenagers, actually, mainly teenage boys, they're all ADHD, like my youngest son is, who are all in sports. And their parents sign them up with me to teach them how to study better, and all I really do is help them with sports, and then it carries over. And they're all visual. So I help them see the energies they're interacting with. So when they're playing sports, they're able to turn away a darker energy or fill in their fear or whatever it is. And then they can use those same techniques when they're taking their tests, you know, to help themselves be more calm, you know, or keep other people's, you know, energies away because they're really sensitive to others' fears. So then they get scared, you know, when they're taking tests. So I think you help them develop it. I had a little boy come in, 12 years old. His mother came in. She wouldn't tell me, you know, what he sees. He didn't want to tell me what he sees. I finally looked at him and I said, "So what do you see? So you're clairvoyant." I could see it around him. "What kind of things do you see?" And he goes, "Oh, I see aliens." He says, "I see aliens. I was at the movie last week and I saw this little blue girl sitting in the seat next to me and she started talking to me. I said, you're an X-Men." So you have to make it really positive for them, too. So, you know, he felt great about his gift. He's not going to go tell his friends, you know, but I gave him a few techniques. So, you know, if a little alien pops up in the middle of the night and he needs to sleep, he can say, you know, come back at 7 in the morning. So we empower them.
Okay. So parents, you know, empower your children. You know, look at them and educate the whole child. Okay? If they start talking about the imaginary friends, believe it. Okay?
Yeah.
Just believe it. I had, the younger kid, he saw, when he was 3, he saw Rodney Dangerfield on a commercial. And he got all excited. He goes, Mommy, what? And he says, I was his daddy in another life. And he's 3. Okay, so I just left it. You know, I didn't do anything. I just left it. And, you know, he's been a fan of Ronnie Dangerfield ever since. I mean, he's just his friend. I mean, I could care less, but it's just his, you know, so he dialed into what works for him.
So. Yeah, great. It's your own style. When my youngest was little, he was maybe 3. He looked at me and he goes, do you remember when I was the big brother and you were the little sister? He goes, you were really heavy. I had to carry you around all the time.
Oh, wow.
I said, I bet that was really a problem.
So this life, you're going to have to carry him, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Goes full circle. Now, what about the ethics of it all? You know, I know a very strong clairvoyant. If that person were to tune in to us right now, he would be able to tell me where you're sitting, what the room is decorated like, what you have on, and what's on your feet and your toenail color. Okay, and to me, that's pretty strong. I'm not that strong with clairvoyance. However, he's chosen to use it for negative, to hurt people, to harm people. How do we stay ethical?
Oh, that is so important. You know, and I have a friend who was in one of the CIA remote viewing projects, you know, decades ago, where they were being trained to actually fly around in their, you know, soul body and to spy, and they were trying to get them to kill people. When they dismantled the program, and my friend would not participate at that level, there were 4 people in their group. During the month after they dismantled it, 3 of them were killed in car accidents. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this stuff is really real, and there are always real people who, you know, could, if they chose to, take advantage. But any of us can take advantage of our own gifts and misuse them. We can hurt people with them, poke them with them, send curses at them. Like you're saying, the more powerful the gift, the better, you know, the higher the good and the lower the lows as well. So, you know, for me, any of the mystical gifts have to adapt to the Hippocratic Oath, which is that the oath that doctors take, you know, but we just transform, you know, the wording so it operates mystically, you know, and one of the rules is at the least do no harm. And if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Right? Get permission. I mean, you know, unless there's an emergency, a doctor's not going to operate on somebody unless there's permission. You know, you're not going to go use your psychic, you know, your spidey senses on somebody unless there's permission. I understand that there's extenuating circumstances, somebody in a coma, you know, an accident happening in front of you. But even then, it's very important to align with the divine to say, am I called to help? Is this mine to do? Am I to get involved, you know, with changing the outcome? And I'm supposed to see what's going on. So it's just the same way we're supposed to live our lives. And I've had to learn all this over the years. I don't think I've ever tried to do anything destructive with my clairvoyance. I don't know if I ever have done anything destructive, but I've certainly tried to develop that gift the same way I've had to learn to develop the rest of my personality to be honest and clean and ethical. You know, so it comes with the territory, but people can do what they want with it. We also have the right to put up boundaries if somebody is invading our space. So I had a man years ago who wanted to date me. I didn't want to date him. For about 3 weeks, everywhere I went, I saw his face. Like he projected himself into my energy field.
Wow.
Like, and one time I was, you know, just going to go through a door. It was a really big door and it slammed in front of me. It slammed. I could have been hurt, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I felt his presence. I knew he was so mad at me. He was punishing me because I wouldn't date him. So there's an ethic. You know, another time I was doing ceremony, and it was mainly men, myself and one other woman, and all the men came out of the ceremony saying they saw me dating this other guy, this one man. I didn't get the vision. No one told me. You know, and I was like, This is manipulation. I don't want to date him. This is not the man I'm choosing to be with. So people can manipulate. They can sew
yes.
pictures. Yeah. So
yes,
we have to be careful it's not done to us, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, I learned that I was 16, and I liked this guy. His name was Bruce. And Bruce liked me about as much as he would probably like to drown tomorrow. He thought I was a nice person and all that, but he wasn't interested in dating me, and I wanted to date Bruce. You know, it was an ego thing. So this is a lesson that taught me to get out of ego. So I manipulated the energy, and Bruce was following me around like a puppy dog, and he kept telling me, I can't stand you. I don't know why I'm here. And he goes, I can't stand you. Not the fact that I hate you, but, you know, I don't like you that
He's
way.
He's not romantically
I don't want to be romantic.
Interested.
Yeah.
Right.
And I kept it up for about 2 months, and then one day I literally woke up like 3 o'clock in the morning and said, you know, he's not into you. Let him go. You know, if you can manifest a guy who doesn't like you, you can manifest a guy who likes you. And that was the very last time, first and last time, that I did something like that. But it was like, oh, my goodness. If you are truly in the energy of wanting to manifest and setting your intention, yes, you can do it through clairvoyance, but be careful.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse, you know, than having somebody be with you who doesn't want to be with you either. My dad always used to say that, you know, when I would really like somebody and they didn't like me back, he would go, why would you want to be with somebody who doesn't like you?
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
It's a mystical gift. It's a subtle energy power. These are powers. And we do have to be really careful. You know, people talk about curses, right? And there's certainly, you know, real curses. People who do, you know, different kinds of black magic, or they cast curses, or they do this or that. But most of those types of energies that impact people are sort of unconsciously sent. Like, I wish harm to them because they got the guy and I didn't get the guy. So we even have to be careful, not compulsive, all right? But we have to have clean thoughts, I think, in order to have clean clairvoyance, too.
Yes. And be truly cognizant of just all your thoughts, okay? Because sometimes you might be sending something out that's a little lower frequency than you realize. So if you're conscious, it, you know, comes back. I guess it's just what I said in the beginning, that, you know, if you are aware physically what you can see, feel, hear, touch, whatever, and you stay very aware, you will grow so that you are aware of the, what I call, the invisible unconscious.
Absolutely. You know, have some empathy. I mean, that is a mystical gift. Like, how, you know, how's this feeling to the person? How would this feel to me? I have had to learn all that in my personal life because I grew up in a really, you know, the old dysfunctional family. So the rules were bent. The rules were totally warped, you know, so every rule I've had to learn in my personal life, you know, on the right way to think, behave, et cetera, I've had to apply in my intuitive life, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Cindy, what is the greatest gift that your gift has given you, and what's the greatest thing that your gift told you to be aware of so that you don't fall down the rabbit hole?
Great questions. You know, I think I'm more clairvoyant in my professional life than my personal life, all right?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm answering the question professionally. I love being able to get images that help people better understand themselves, better understand what they need to do to heal or give them hope for their lives. A lot of my gift is actually seeing other people's gifts. I see their gifts as colors. And so it just tickles my fancy when people go, oh, that's what I'm good at? You know, or wow, you're right, I can really do this, or this is really possible. You know, or yeah, I'm going to go to the doctor and take that x-ray, you know, and then You know, I would never tell somebody they don't have cancer, you know, but if I see something that looks like they should go to the doctor, I mean, even if you're only right 50% of the time, it's a good thing you said something. So I really like the impact on other people's lives. And I think what keeps me from going down the rabbit hole with it, you know, is that I don't, and this is ironic, I don't over rely on my clairvoyance in my everyday life. I just don't. I don't want to get pictures when I'm at Target of what somebody ate for breakfast. I don't, you know what, I want to be a normal person. You know, you know what I mean? I want to go to my son's baseball games. I want to hang out with my oldest son and his girlfriend. You know, I want to live a real life. And it's okay to be in flow. It's okay to get signs. It's okay to get indications. It's okay to get guided. So I actually have or ask that all my intuitive faculties are open in my everyday life, but I'm just sort of left alone unless there's something I really need to be aware of or know. So, I mean, I think we're here to live. We're not here to predict the future all the time. We're here to live today so that the future unfolds tomorrow.
Exactly. And we're here to get our lessons just like everybody else. You know?
There's a lot of those.
Yes. And for people who do what we do, I think sometimes the lessons are a little tougher because they want us to get it so that we can truly be of service to someone else. What are your thoughts?
My mentor says that to me all the time when I'm complaining. She goes, well, you know, it's a good thing you went through that as a child. It's a good thing you're going through this now because look at the capacity for compassion you have. Look at how real what you have to offer becomes if you really understand it or care about it or relate to the person. So I do believe that often when you're when you have certain gifts, you're given the equivalent challenges because otherwise the gift doesn't mean anything. It doesn't have any depth to it. You know, you know, for instance, a lot of people are really spiritually gifted. Most typically, they get spiritual challenges. You know, they have to face a conflict of belief. They have to, you know, figure out who or what they really do believe in. Maybe they go through a loss of faith for a while. You know, I think this is a teaching space. And it's a playground, but even playgrounds, you know, you fall and you bruise your knee, and you've got to learn, you know, kind of what the rules are.
Okay. Well, Cindy, when we go to your website, cindydale.com, what are we going to find there?
You are going to find a little bit about me, some of the classes that I teach. You're going to find about the sessions that I give. You know, and so that's what's on my website. There's links to my different books. And you know, it's just a nice place to hang out for a couple minutes, too.
Okay. Okay, so you just started a class, I think, yesterday. Is it too late to join that particular class?
I just started a class about, okay, so I've got these energy clinics running. There's six of them. It is not too late to sign up for the next four. We've done two, and you can purchase the ones that were just done. They're really cool. They're webinar. They're deep. They're lovely. I have an apprenticeship program where about 5 out of 22 plus classes in. There's actually almost 30 classes. People can still join that. That's very, very in-depth. And then if you're anywhere around Minneapolis, you can fly here. Every year, I teach a 7-part energy medicine series at the local college that people love. It's very in-depth. It's fantastic. And I'll have new classes coming up all the time, too. So take a look. You can join what's in process, you know, and or I'll repeat a lot of the classes again and add new ones again next year.
Okay. Well, folks, if you've enjoyed what you've heard this evening, please go out and look at the book, Awaken Clairvoyant Energy, and then after you look at it, buy it. Again, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any place that books are sold. Just go in and ask for it. And also, you know, peruse around and look at the other books that Cindy has written. This is a lady that walks her talk. She stands in her truth, and you're not going to get foo-foo, woo-woo information. You're going to get real down-to-earth information that's going to help you navigate life today. And let's face it, folks, that's what we want. Okay? So do check it out, please. And that's cindydale.com, CYNDIDALE.com. Cindy, I've enjoyed our time together this evening. I appreciate you being with me.
I have so enjoyed you. You are an amazing individual, you know, and like what a practitioner you are.
Oh, well, Thank you very much. And thank you to the audience for being with us tonight as we collectively get over it and develop our clairvoyance. The divine in me honors the divine in you. And when you're ready to live a more balanced life, give me a call. Intuitive consultations, 30 minutes or longer, are offered at a 10% discount if you mention the podcast. And love yourself enough to make an investment in yourself. Make that call, 888-240-6057. And remember, the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of love. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste.